Today, we're going to be looking at this idea of sanctity of life, sanctity of life. And I'm going to start with a very familiar verse. If you want to turn your Bibles, you can turn to 1 John in chapter 3 and verse 17 and verse 18. First John in chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. And to be honest with you, we'll kind of continue this same idea even a little bit tonight as we look forward to what's coming in the year ahead. John writes and he says this: if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? That's pretty strong, isn't it? Verse 18, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And that's what I want to challenge you about today. It's so hard for preachers because we do talking all the time. That's what we do. But what I want to challenge you with today is not to just be about talking, to not just to be about a Facebook post or a Twitter post or a picture, but to be about actually giving of yourself to make change as the Lord leads you, okay? Today we're looking at what's called Sanctity of Life. Sanctity of Life Sunday was actually last Sunday. And so what many churches do in our country is around the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision, they will have a celebration of life and a reminder of why life is so important. Well, what has happened is this has really grown out. It used to be mainly focused on the idea of abortion and being against abortion, and we're going to talk about that today, definitely. But it has grown into so many other areas, and we have even seen some of this in our own church as we've had to deal with people who are facing their end of days as well, right? There's some strong decisions there that have to be made, and people that are enduring so much pain, and so there's questions about those types of things. Even this weekend, we have seen so much on immigration and refugees and all this stuff going out. Well, that also is tied up and wrapped up into this idea of the dignity and the sanctity of life. As you guys hear me talk all the time about people in the jail and in the prison, dignity and the sanctity of life. I'm not going to pull up the verse today, but you guys are so familiar with our Matthew 25 passage. You know, Jesus has the sheep and the goats. Remember what he says: when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was thirsty, did you give me something to drink? When I was sick and in prison, did you visit me, right? All of those things revolve around this idea of what we would call the dignity or the sanctity of life. And I'm going to be honest, this issue is so large that I almost don't really even know how to navigate it today. So I'm going to need you to be prayerful and you to ask the Lord to challenge your heart with some of the passages that we look at and some ideas that I give you. But I definitely want you to really ponder this idea. We have a resource that I'm going to get for us. It's actually called The Dignity and Sanctity of Every Human Life Guide, and it's from Focus on the Family. And you can get it online to read it, but I know it's rather a large format, and I'm going to try to get some to leave around our church and maybe even some that you can take with you. But it will deal with these different topics. So let me lay this out just for you to think about this morning, about some of the areas of sanctity of life. Obviously, recognizing preborn children and the tragedy of abortion is part of that. Now, you can't see all these, but I'm going to read them for you so you can hear them. Encouraging adoption and orphan care. Do you follow the reasoning of that? If you're going to go and say that abortion is wrong and we need to stand for life, then you better have some solutions in place, correct? And so how many times in the scriptures does the Lord talk about caring for the fatherless and the orphan and the widow? You guys, that is all through the gospel, all through the Bible, not just a New Testament or just an Old Testament idea. Everywhere we go, that is part of the dignity of human life. How about valuing people with special needs? I am amazed that when I walk through our school hallways, I am always so overwhelmed by people that love and care for people with special needs. Because I look at those jobs and I think, I don't know how in the world I could ever do what they do. But they love their jobs and they love those children so much. They see a dignity in those lives. Human trafficking. I don't know if you guys, if you ever get a chance, you can go to Cincinnati, and they have the museum there. It has a lot to do with slavery, but at the very end of the exhibit, you can actually walk through and see a whole exhibit on human trafficking and how prevalent that is in our day. Did you realize that? Like, there are people that are being shuffled and moved and sold as sex slaves and other times of human trafficking, and it is prevalent all across our world. It's even prevalent here in our nation. And we like to think that that's not something that's even around, but you guys, if you pay attention, watch when the Super Bowl comes around and the cities that it's in, and you'll find that there'll even be news about those types of items when these big sporting events come to places because of the trafficking that takes place in conjunction with a huge sporting event, right? Dignity of human life. There is no reason that any young girl should be trafficked in this world today, right? Amen? So as you look at these things, let them challenge your heart a little bit. The promoting of racial reconciliation. I've been talking a lot with Brooklyn lately about this because Brooklyn has a lot of people of diversity in her life. And it is so important, I think, that we begin to literally sit down at the table with people who are different than us and to share a meal and to try to understand one another where we're coming from. In an environment today that is as tense as it is, the church has got to take the lead in eating and sitting together with people who are different than we are to understand and love and serve each other. Okay? Dignity of human life. Eradicating poverty and death from preventable disease. Again, how many places around our world today, they don't even have clean water? Right? Nobody here this morning even thought about that, did you? Till I said that right now, you probably didn't even think about when you poured the water out of your cup or out of your faucet or whatever. You weren't worried about what you were drinking and that kind of thing. There's so many advantages that we have that we need to make sure that we are not forgetting about people who deal with these things. Engaging in prison ministry. We talked about that just a minute ago. Serving the immigrants and the refugees. And then finally, caring for those at the end of life. So I'll try to get these resources and I'll place them in our church, and you guys are welcome to check them out and take them with you, and they will give, they're so thorough. Each of these topics has a full chapter, and it has not only like things from a scriptural perspective, but also from a scientific perspective, and then also some quotes to inspire and encourage as you have conversations. I really want everybody at least to have an opportunity to see this. The way that someone had worded it, I'm going to give you this quote this morning to kind of think about it this way. Whether it's unborn babies or refugees, children dying from malaria or trafficked overseas, or even the elderly living in an assisted living facility in your own community, Jesus views them all with the same eyes of compassion. He longs to see each receive justice and healing and to experience a love that knows no bounds. Take that in your heart today. If you have that, you've got the message today. We are called not just to talk, but to act, to show love by doing, not just by saying. So again, and you guys have been there and you do in your job and your work. Sometimes you're so busy and you're trying to catch up on things that you can't take everything in. And that was what life was for me here recently, okay? I started to pour into some of the resources for Sanctity of Life. And they're so massive. But I had one thing that hit me that then all of a sudden I was so ashamed. I'm just going to be very transparent with you this morning. That in most of my ministry, like I can go back and I have talked about all kinds of things. I've talked about witnessing and praying and giving. I've talked about divorce and remarriage. I've talked about all these different kinds of topics. But I have never had a fully developed sermon just about life. And as I began to read some of these things, I realized that I've kind of been like an ostrich with my head in the sand. You know what I'm saying? Because what I have been hearing, again, not because I had research, but I've been hearing that things are getting better. And to some extent, in a small way, things are getting better. But when you look at the way things really are, you guys, we have a huge, huge problem. And we got to figure out what our role is going to be in doing something about that. So today, I come with you very humbly. And not even sure exactly how to break through some of this because these numbers are so massive. And I want you to know today, that it's not that I am scared of this topic or that I'm afraid of offending someone, okay? I believe, Travis Penn believes, that the scripture teaches that abortion is the killing of innocent unborn children. I believe that. Okay, and I'm not afraid to say that and let someone know that. But I think that I've mostly assumed that these truths were just understood, and now what's hitting me is that these things need to be proclaimed. Just a few ideas, again, to get you thinking this morning. And these are statistics from different sources, some from the Focus on the Family Guide, some from the Chuck Colson Prayer Guide. By the way, before I forget, I'll show you at the end today as well. But on our Facebook page today, there is a 21-day prayer guide for praying about life and the sanctity of life. And some of the things I'll give you today are from that idea. But what I read was that over 70% of women who have abortions would claim a Christian worldview. Is that challenging you this morning a little bit? And as I spoke with Wendy about that a little bit this morning, one of the things that she brought up, and I had read this as well, was that we have put such a shame on an unwed pregnancy that some women would rather have the abortion than have the shame of being an unwed mother in some of our churches, okay? Let me say this today, too, and I think I'll get to this in just a little bit as well. But please, man, please hear me, okay? I don't know where you guys have been. Some of you here, some of you men maybe have been part of an abortion. Some of you ladies may have been a part of an abortion. And what I want to tell you today is everything we sang this morning about grace and kindness and forgiveness and God reconciling, I am not trying to guilt or shame a single person here today. You hear me? Okay? That is not the intent. I want you to know that there's restoration and healing and love if you've been through that stuff. But I want to challenge you today that this problem is so big that it needs to be addressed. And it needs to be addressed in the church. Again, from my perspective, it's such a simple thing. Who would think that a mom taking the life of her child would be acceptable? And again, maybe my mind's too simple, but in my mind, that's just like, well, that's a no-brainer, right? People wouldn't do that. And yet, that has been what has been shared, and there's been a lot of debate, or you guys know that much better than I do, over the last 40, 50 years. Again, today what I don't want to do is overburden you with stats, but I wanted to give you a couple that really were provoking and some that really challenged me for today. So again, look at this. This is our first stat this morning. There's two different sites. There's three states that no longer give abortion data to the government, but there are still another company that goes and gathers that data from those states. It is estimated that in 2015, there were 906,000 abortions. And that's down. Do you feel what I'm feeling here when you hear that? You guys, that is more than 2,400 abortions per day in the United States alone. Those numbers are so large, I can't almost feel it. Do you know what I'm saying? That is so big. It's kind of like sometimes when they talk about murder in Chicago and there was like 2,000 murders or something in Chicago. You're like, that is so big. How do you process it? This is almost a million unborn children in our country in 2015. So it's one thing to say things are better, and that's good, right? We want mothers to be more informed, to be loved. We want mothers that are hurting to be taken care of and have people have a greater understanding of how to love and serve them. We want adoption to go up. We want foster care to go up. And all those things are happening, and we should celebrate those things. But that number there should be zero. And I know, hey, maybe in my lifetime it won't be that way, but it should be that way in this preacher's mind. And when I see that, I feel like that maybe as a church or as myself, I should go get sackcloth and ashes and repent for a few days or weeks and then come out with an action plan, because that breaks my heart so much. And it's not just my own sin, but it's the change that needs to come out of that is so troubling to me. And so today, here's what I want you to do. As we're walking through just a few more of these things, we're going to walk through some scriptures to encourage your heart about what God teaches about life. I want you to pray, Lord, what is my role in making that number go down? okay? And I'm going to give you some very clear, actionable things that you can do at the end of the message today that will be a part of making that number continue to drop. But I want to challenge you today that if you had asked me that a week ago, I would have said, oh, maybe there was 30,000 or 40,000, something like that. I wouldn't have said a million or 900,000, right? Just a few more stats just so you can see that it went down. In 2014, approximately there were 926,000 abortions in the U.S., down from 1.06 million in 2011, 1.2 million in 2008, and 1.2 in 2005, almost 1.3 in 2002, and 1.31 in 2000, 1.36 in 1996. And look at that last figure. 53 million. And again, please hear my heart here, and I've carefully laid this out to you today. Maybe there was 10 million in the Holocaust, maybe some estimates a little higher than that. 53 million. Not around the world, 53 million on U.S. soil. 53 million people that are not here on the planet today because their lives were taken. All right? Again, what I would encourage you to do today, because this is so hard on me, we need to process this together, okay? I wouldn't go do anything rash decision-wise, whatever, but we need to be praying and talking to each other and see, Lord, what is our role in making this different? But those numbers, they're so big, it's almost like you're like, I don't even know how to act on them, right? Does that anybody else feel like that? I mean, that's when I hear that and see that, it's like, what? I can't almost even, I don't know what to do with it. And so the Lord is challenging our hearts, and I pray that we can make a difference. This is so unnecessary. Again, I want to say this again because I want to be clear today. I am definitely wrestling with how to proceed and how to help you, how help us proceed as a church. I'll have some practical ways here at the end of this message today, but by no means do we want to push away anyone who was part of an abortion, a mother or a father. Can you hear that today? This is not the point of this message, all right? And as a matter of fact, in the future, we will have some messages about how we're going to show grace to people who have been involved in abortion because they need that love and they need that grace. There's so much grace available. But we need to make sure that we are taking Spirit-led action to love so that we can eradicate this issue from our country. Again, I'm not trying to dive into the whole race thing, okay? But just so that you're aware, one of the stats that just overwhelmed me, in New York City, there were more black babies aborted than born last year. Process that. How are we letting that happen, right? How are we not involved in those people's lives so that they can hear the love of Jesus, that they can find another? There's acceptance and that there's healing and there's hope. It's not that we're going to go and point a finger and say, you can't do this, you're horrible, because it's that they should have an opportunity where they know that there's an avenue that they can go where they won't have to choose this setting, the situation. You follow what I'm saying? All right? Again, prayerfully, we walk through that this morning. Let me give you an illustration that kind of helps us maybe again as we try to process through this. And this is actually from that prayer guide that I've shared on the Facebook page. From Chuck Colson. So again, a made-up illustration to kind of give you an idea of how this might work. Joe found the young girl unconscious in her upstairs closet. By the time he got there, the structure was a firing, raging inferno, and nobody else dared to go inside. But Joe scooped up the girl, and he took the only exit straight out a second-story window and fell into the bushes below. And the girl lived. Joe sustained 3 cuts and 2 sprained ankles, and then an avalanche of questions. And so for most of us, our thing would be, what a hero, go in the fire, grab the girl, and get out, right? Now think about this, and this is kind of what we're dealing with today. Well, the media wanted to know how he planned to pay for the girl's food, clothing, and health care now that he'd rescued her. A pastor asked if time spent saving the girl from the temporary flames might have been better spent saving people from eternal ones. The social justice coordinator at a local parish or local church insisted that if Joe truly cared about saving lives, he'd care about all life, and he would spend equal amount of time rescuing poor workers from rich corporations. And a local congressman asked if Joe supported tax hikes aimed at reducing fire risk. And Joe just kept looking at the girl. Do you feel that? Do you see that's what we do in our Twitterverse, in our Facebook world today? We go and we grab the information as quick as we can to defend our point, to take our side, and we have all of these other things, but what we sometimes forget is that there are people involved in the mess. And we need to get down into the dirt, and sometimes it is very complicated, but as we're led by the Spirit, we need to jump into those places and help be a rescuing and a healing agent for dark things. How many problems are in the world today? What a silly question, right? Can you do them all? It's so funny because my daughter right now is so into and dealing with refugees and immigration laws. That's what she lives and breathes. That's what she's studying. That's where she's interning. She is trying to help people navigate what they're going to do now that they've come into this land. And so what do you think she is concerned about and prays about and thinks about? And what is one of the biggest things on her heart right now? It's refugees and immigrants, right? Well, is there a need to help the homeless? Is there a need to help those abandoned in nursing homes? Is there a need to help those that don't have clothes? Is there a need to have food banks? Is there a need to help foster kids? Is there a need to help the disabled? Is there a need? I mean, there's so many needs, right? So instead of questioning somebody's motivation when they go and try to do to help someone and try to have all these arguments about what they could be doing better, why don't we honor them that they're actually trying to make a difference, that they're taking action to make things better, and then us ourselves find the Lord's leading in our heart and our life, and we go jump in where the Lord wants us to serve. Are you with me? Instead of criticizing everybody else and what they're thinking and what they're doing, why don't we show love by taking action as the Lord leads us? And that's the challenge on my heart today. I am not going to try to push all of you into some sort of specific one of these areas for our church. But I want to give you as opportunities to see where your gifts and your passions line up where there are needs and problems and injustice, and give you an opportunity to go and serve in those places so that you can magnify Jesus and your life will matter. How about that? Does that sound good? That sounds great to me. That's what I want to do. And so this year, some of the things we'll talk about this tonight, we're going to try to provide opportunities for you to go and to see some of these different things. And then you can be in prayer about them, and then you can step out as the Lord leads so you can make a difference. Again, what a challenging thing. Who would think of this, again, from the same 21 Days of Prayer, the prayer guide? Imagine saying to the American Cancer Society, "You have no right to oppose cancer unless you also work to oppose all illnesses such as diabetes and Crohn's disease and heart attacks." That's absurd, right? Just as Joe kept his eyes on the girl, we must keep our eyes on the unborn, and nothing can justify the intentional taking of innocent lives. So let's look at what the scripture says this morning. If you'd like to, you can turn to Genesis 1:27 first or look up on the screen. The first thing I want to remind you today, and this we'll go through this quickly, is that human beings are created in the image of God. Human beings are created in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 1, everybody's familiar with this, verse 27, right from the get-go, the Bible says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." I'm not going to throw a bunch of Greek on you here today, but the idea of image is the same as icon. You guys are familiar with icons, right? They stand in place of something. They represent something, right? Well, that's what image is. We have that representation of God in us. What is that? What is it that makes us like God? And I don't mean that we're divine, but what are those character traits that we have, that God has, that's why he says we are made in his image? Well, we have personality. First off, like God, we do three things. Everybody here does these things. We think. Sometimes you wonder if I do. I know. We feel, and we act. We have a will. We have a volition. Okay? And that's what makes a person. And that's what is the image of God. And whether it's a little boy who has Down syndrome, or whether it's someone who has terrible multiple sclerosis, or whatever disease you want to lay out, they all have those things still, don't they? They have personality. Have you ever worked with people like that and see their personality come through? Sometimes we are so quick to judge them or to react to them that we don't give time to even get to see their personality. But God's image runs all through them, and that's why we have dignity for every life, because they can think and they can feel and they can act. That's what makes a person. Now let me be careful here, and I know you guys know I have a puppy as well, but sometimes we treat our dogs and cats better than people. Right? Preacher, I'm not very good out of here. I wasn't expecting this today. I don't want to go too deep into this, but I saw that there was I think it was over in the East Coast, one of the states had a law that you couldn't transport a pregnant lobster. It was like a $1,000 fine. We treat sometimes animals better than we do our own young. Brothers and sisters, that ought not be. Let that resonate in your heart today. Please take care of your animals. The preacher didn't say that, okay? But please value the life of a human being more than the life of your pet. I hope that challenges a little bit this morning. I would encourage you so much, as we saw just a few weeks ago, look for the face of Christ in all the people that you meet. Do you remember what Jesus said to those people when we talked about hell? 2 weeks ago we talked about it. And what did they say to Jesus? Well, Lord, when did we see you sick? When did we see you hungry? Lord, if we had seen you in prison, or if we'd seen you without clothes, we would have been there. When did we see you? And he says, when you didn't see it in the least of these, you didn't do it unto me. They missed the face of Christ in the people around them. And folks, I'm challenging you today that as you interact with people at Walmart or Meijer or Marsh, at the post office, in your daily routines, in your workplaces, among your even friends and family here, look for the face of Christ in everyone you meet. And love them like you would love Jesus. And you will not be disappointed when you meet the Lord. All right? Again, the scripture encourages us to do that. We are created in the image of God. People are created in the image of God. It doesn't matter their economic status or their color or their age or what their culture is. They have dignity because they are made in God's image. Look for the face of Christ in them. We have a responsibility to speak up for the weak. Look at this in Proverbs. Proverbs 31, verse 8. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? We have a responsibility to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Whether that's our friend in the nursing home that is so sick, or they're dealing with really difficult disease at their end of days, or whether that's the unborn, we have a responsibility to speak for those who don't speak for themselves. The church should be speaking for those people. And again, your preacher's own sin here to make that right, to come and make those things better. Lord, help us to do that. Again, be carefully, I say these things to you, and I want you to carefully share them, but understand them. Many people were silent during the Holocaust. Many people were silent during the institution of slavery, and now they look back with regret. I'm so afraid that we may one day do the same for the unborn, the immigrant, and even the elderly. I don't want to face Jesus someday. And he's like, Travis, in your country, in your state, in your city, all of these children were being killed. All these old folks were being pushed aside. And all these people who were weak and were running and fleeing for their very lives, and you were shutting them away. Why did you do that? I want to be able to answer them that I didn't do that, that I loved them and I reached out for them and I tried to serve them. I don't want to answer that. I was too callous to even see those needs. Are you with me? Lord, help us to speak up for the weak.
Challies from his website says this: abortion is so awful and so despicable and so abhorrent that I have to think that someday it will indeed be abolished. Someday. It is my hope and even my conviction that we will someday regard it as we now regard slavery. We will shake our heads and wonder how we could have ever lived in such a society. That children will learn in school of society's ambivalence to so great an evil and express proper shock and disgust. And I hope and pray that Christians will lead this fight and ascribe all glory to God when the battle is finally won. That's my hope too. As you have opportunity, stand up for those who are less fortunate than you, and especially those who have no voice. Yesterday I was able to kind of review an article a friend of mine, a pastor friend, Phil Martin from Salem, pastors the First Christian Church there, and he wrote an interesting article about liberty, actually about the Declaration. What's those three things, the inalienable rights we have? Life, liberty, and what's the last one? It's not happiness. It's the pursuit of happiness, right? Now, here's what I want to challenge you with today. You got to be careful with this. Don't get them out of order. And that's what we do in our day. We do pursuit of happiness, liberty, and life. And that can be a big problem. Again, this is not from the scriptures, so bear with that, but it is from our declaration of our founding fathers. And Phil's point was so valid. Do not get the order mixed up. The pursuit of happiness does not come first, and it does not win over liberty. Right? Let's look at this quote here, and I think it will help you understand a little better. R.C. Sproul says, one of the chief functions of law is to protect the rights of individuals. To be sure, every law restricts someone's freedom in order to protect somebody else's rights. Right? I may feel like I have liberty to go up and punch Dustin right in the jaw. That's liberty, but it infringes upon his rights. And so our law restricts that, okay? Well, what has happened is we have got to a place now sometimes where we are so much about the pursuit of happiness that we have set aside liberty. And if we go too far, we set aside liberty to the point of obstructing life itself. You follow that argumentation? So we've got to get these things in order. The dignity of life comes first. And then when you honor life, then you pursue freedom and liberty. And then when you pursue that, you restrict in such a way that people have the pursuit of happiness available to them. Again, just be careful that you don't get them mixed up. Finally, this morning, I want you to see one of the most beautiful passages about how much dignity life has is in Psalm 139. And we're just going to look at verses 13 through 16. And here the psalmist, David himself, actually writes. He says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Does the scripture have evidence of the Lord being active in a person before they are actually outside their mother's womb breathing? Definitely, right? Look at verse 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do you ever get a little bit upset with how you were made? Anybody? I wish my cousin Sarah was here. She'll get to come here someday, I hope. I never forget Sarah at youth camp. One day, she used this verse and she began to explain this, and she pulled up her sleeves on her arms. And Sarah, no kidding here, not to push on my cousin too hard, she has hairier arms than I have. And her whole young life, she was like, oh, why did God make me that way? And then as she grew as a Christian and she grew and understood that the Lord made her in a specific way for a specific purpose. And now where she serves over in China, that is actually an opportunity for a conversation. And she uses that to share the good news of Jesus with people about how that you're made and the Lord knows you from the inside. You guys know your preacher. My thing for me, you're going to think this is silly. I'm not very sensitive most of the time. But my sophomore year, one kid said, man, you have a really big nose, Travis. I'm like, what? And I had never even noticed that. And then after a while, it really bothered me for about a year. And after that, I'm like, this is who I am. Big nose and everything. That's me. That's part of Travis. And that is beautiful and okay.
sure that they get that.
You guys, whether it's, again, the unborn in the womb or the old person in the old folks' home that has a hard time even remembering anything, they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and they should be treated as such. Amen.
All right. Verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth.
Can you see that God is even active in the coming together of this human life? That's what the scripture says.
Verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
All I'm encouraging you today is to celebrate and appreciate life in all of its stages. Give people dignity no matter their race, class, age, or culture.
All right, today I'm not going to, there's a video, we won't show it today. Maybe I'll show it to you some other time. But I want to give you five very actionable items that you can pray about and consider as you're thinking about the dignity of life. And in some of these, especially as it relates to serving and speaking up for the unborn. So bear with us this morning. You pray as you encounter these things and see what you think about them. The first one, very simple, one that everybody can do, is you can pray for the unborn, right? And in most of our Christian life, this is where we start with all kinds of things. Brother Todd has been so great to encourage us about the persecuted church every week. I hope that you're praying for the persecuted church. I hope that you don't forget the persecuted church. That is kind of like step one on any injustice, is that when the Lord challenges for that, we pray for those things to be better, for the Lord to work. Well, what I want you to do, please, please, if you have Facebook, and if you don't, I'll try to print out a copy. If you want a copy, I'll get you a printed copy. But you can go to the church Facebook page, and there will be an article there. It's a beautiful, full-color, 21-day prayer guide for praying about the unborn and about abortion. It's so well done. It will help you understand, think about this, and I think you'll see some things in a new light, and hopefully it'll really give you wisdom as you pursue what the Lord has for you. So everybody can do that. Second thing, help single moms in your circle of influence. And this is where I think the church has let down and we've got to step back up. If a single mom has a church family and she's loved and cared by them, then she is going to be able to, when she has those concerns about how am I going to pay for this other child that's on the way, or what am I going to do in this situation, if she knows that she has love and compassion and forgiveness and grace and people that are going to help her walk through these things, that will help so much. So if you have single moms in your life, be involved with them. Let them know that you care. Let them know that you can help them in small ways. If you're a guy and you can do oil changes, do stuff like that. If you can help the car wash or mow the yard or whatever you can do to help a single mom along the way, be in prayer how you can help them. It will go a long way in this battle that we're talking about today. The next thing is that you can help your local pregnancy care center. And this is something that I, as your preacher, need to get a lot more involved in. I was pretty involved back where I came from. And just trying to be very simple here, and you guys can do the same thing. You try to use your skills to help the Lord the best you can. Well, I'm not an electrician, and I'm not even really good at painting, but I could do technology stuff. So I built the website for our pregnancy care center in Salem when I was there. Again, I just tried to use my skills to help along in that setting. You guys need to do the same thing. What's your skill sets? How can you help these institutions? And so one of the things that we'll do this year is that we'll try to provide a date and an opportunity for you to go and visit a pregnancy care center to see what it's about and what needs they have. There are different opportunities. Some of them will even have online where you can go and help purchase different things. The ones here in Indy, I was reading yesterday that they have like a roses day where you can buy, they will supply roses and you can buy these roses and all the proceeds go then for their foundation to try to help their organization. Just something to think about. And again, be in prayer for her. Number four is you need to show others the value of life. And I'm not necessarily the biggest movie person, but something that if you guys want to look at and consider, there's a movie called Bella. Interesting, huh? Bella, the idea of this beautiful life. I would have you check out the movie. And it is a really interesting take on how do you love someone who is considering an abortion. And if you haven't seen it, I would challenge you to see it. And then after you watch it, maybe share that even with some friends that they would get an idea of how precious, how valuable life is. So take a look at that. There's so many resources today. It's unbelievable how many things we have to share, but that's just an idea. And then finally today, this is a challenging one. if the church is going to speak up and say, we should not be taking the lives of the unborn, then guess what else the church has to do? The church needs to be leading the way in foster care and adoption. That's a big deal, isn't it? Right? Again, prayerfully, I'm not saying that everybody needs to adopt, but I'm saying that prayerfully, you as your family, you need to walk through this conversation, especially young families as they come into our church, and especially young families that are not able to have children. This is something that they need to prayerfully consider and how we can be a difference. It's so amazing. I have some pastor friends. My brother has adopted, and his father-in-law, they had two foster kids, and they adopted both of those. And then my pastor friend David Poteet has adopted. These men have made those decisions. They have considered those costs and weighed them out and made a difference. And not just the men, the women, their wives have made a huge decision to bring these other children into their family, right? So today, all I'm asking you to do is to pray over these things. And here's some clear opportunities for you to make a difference as it relates to the unborn. Now, what we're going to do over the course of this year, and again, just because this is so much, I'm going to try to, later on in this year, break this down a little bit. We're going to come back and revisit it, and we're going to give everybody here opportunities to see how they can serve and what role they can play in making that number a whole lot smaller, all right? Let's stand this morning.